外昆塔基因服务员于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年9月12号，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到敬爱的 Satya Deva Prabhu 为我们讲述今天的早课。感谢大家的聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China. Happy Saturday.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好啊！祝大家星期六快乐。
Today we'll continue our reading of Bhagavad Gita. We're on chapter 1.
今天我们会继续来一起阅读《博迦梵歌》的第一章。
So I'll chant Jayarada Madhava, and then we'll get right into Bhagavad Gita.
所以我们现在就来唱 Jayarada Madhava, 然后就立刻进入到《博迦梵歌》之中。
Okay, cartels.Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri VanadhariGopi Jana Balabha Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Vajja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Vajja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tiravana ChandiYamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivanadhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana RajanaYasoda Nandana Raja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya PrabhupadaPrabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Nitya Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. Om Aganata Nirvendasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiki Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani PacharneNirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastatya Deshitarne Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare VanchakalpataruvyasthaKripa Sindhu Veva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai Shri Krishna Arjuna Ki Jai. So, we've been discussing the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We actually haven't read that many verses yet.
我们这段时间一直都在阅读《博迦梵歌》的第一章，只不过的话呢，还没有读到很多诗节而已。
In fact, we've actually only read the text one and the purport.
事实上，我们只进行到了第一诗节和其要旨。
And those of you who are regularly attending these classes, I've asked you as preparation for today to read text 2 and 3 in the purports.
而那些而对于经常来听早课的奉献者来说，我都请求你们能够来阅读第二世界和第三世界及其要旨，来准备今天的讲课。
And so we've been discussing the meaning of the first chapter. It's titled as Vishara Yoga or the Yoga of Grief.
我们也在讨论第一章的这个含义，其标题的话呢叫做 Vishara Yoga， 也就是指悲伤、悲痛瑜伽的意思。
So that's a Sanskrit title if you're reading the Sanskrit Bhagavad Gita.
而 Vishara Yoga 是这个梵文的它的这个标题，就如果我们要去读梵文的博伽梵歌的话呢，就会发现第一章的名称就叫 Vishara Yoga。
Now, Prabhupada, he titles it in English as Observing the Armies on the Battlefield of Kurukshetra.
而帕帕把第一章就是翻译成了英文的时候，当然英文又译到了中文，就称为库鲁之野，视察军情。
And so, chapter one, it sets the scene for the whole play of Bhagavad Gita, as if you were watching a play.
而第一章的话呢，就为整部《博伽梵歌》的展开，然后设定了这样的一个背景，或者这个叫做舞台。就如果我们把《博伽梵歌》看作是一部戏剧的话，它这个舞台上，这个戏剧上演的这个舞台，就第一章当中就完全被描述出来了。
And as we mentioned earlier, that the Bhagavad Gita actually is part of a larger book called the Mahabharata.
我们在此之前也讨论到过，《博伽梵歌》是一部更大的著作当中的一部分，也就是伟大的巴拉塔，然后旧译摩诃婆罗多。
And so, if you read Mahabharata, you'll become familiar with the characters of that book, and then we find that the same characters are there mentioned in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
然后如果你去阅读伟大的巴拉塔摩诃婆罗多的话，那么你就会更加熟悉这部著作当中的各个人物。但同时的话呢，我们如果去读博伽梵歌的第一章，也会发现这第一章当中所提到的这些人物的名称的话呢，也都是在伟大的巴拉塔当中都是有记载有描述到过的。
So the mainly the Bhagavad Gita is a conversation betweenArjuna and Krishna, which takes place just before the battle on Kurukshetra.
所以整本博伽梵歌最主要的就是关于 Krishna 和 Arjuna 之间的一场对话，他们的这场对话就正好是发生在这场战争库鲁战争之前的这个在这个战场上所发生的。
So, when we read the first chapter, a lot of the verses is mostly describing just the personalities there who are present.
因此当我们阅读第一章的话，就会发现很多诗节都是在描述在战场上出现了的那些人物，他们到底是谁。
And all of those personalities are directly related or indirectly related, and friends and teachers and fathers and uncles and cousins.
并且的话呢，所有的这些人物他们都是有这种相关联的，就是直接的关联或者是间接的关联，比如说朋友啊、亲人啊，当然亲人这个当中的含就包含了很多了，比如说父亲，然后叔叔伯伯，然后老师，等等的，那么他们都是有一定都是有关联的。
Yeah, so in one sense, the first chapter is describing historically, you know, how, you know, where the Bhagavad Gita took place and why it took place and who's present.
所以从一个角度来看，博伽梵歌的第一章就在给予了整个这个历史的背景，就为什么这场战争会发生，然后它是在哪里发生的，然后并且就是有哪些人参与到了其中。
But from the spiritual point of view, the first chapter is explaining the conditions that are present for one who is ready to be enlightened.
The condition, you mean like the inner world, yeah. Inner condition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like what is the psychology or what is the state of mind of one who is actually prepared to become enlightened.
I see. 而从灵性的角度来看的话，第一章实际上就解释到了，谈到了对于一个准备好，对于一个准备好要觉醒，准备好要获得开悟的人来说，那么他的这样一种心态，这样他的一种内在的状态是怎样的？那这就是第一章所谈到的。
So human suffering and human, experiencing loss, actually help prepare one or help motivate a person to want to awaken spiritually.
Spiritually. 因此人类所遭受的苦难或者说人所经受的遭受的失去损失的话呢实际上是能够帮助一个人去准备好或者叫做给予一个人动力能得想要在灵性上觉醒。
Yeah, so in the first chapter, we see that Arjuna experiences in the anticipation of losing his life and everyone he loves, and not being able to find a solution for that, feeling powerless.
所以说在第一章当中 ，Arjuna 他就经历到了这样一种，就是说他已经预料到。他的这种他自己的生命以及所有其他人的生命都会即将在战场上就是消失失去然后并且的话呢对此他是完全找不到任何解决方法的找不到任何这种出路的因此他感到极度的无助完全的没有力量
yeah, So in that condition he feels hopeless he feels powerlessAnd he can't find a solution to his problem himself.
所以说在这样的一种状态中 ,Arjuna 就感到了极度的绝望感到自己完全没有力量很无助然后他就完全他自己是找不到任何的解决方法的。
Which, then at that point, when he hits the bottom,Then he asked for help.
因此到了那一刻，当他跌到谷底的时候，跌到最低点的时候，他就开始请求帮助了。
And who does he ask for help but his friend, who just happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna.
而他是向谁请求帮助的呢？那就刚好是他的，那就是他的朋友，也刚好就是。至尊人格守神 Krishna 了。
And so we see that he's just not in a material crisis, he's in a spiritual crisis.
所以我们可以看到 Arjuna 不仅是处在一种物质层面上的危机并且他也是处在灵性层面上的危机的。
So therefore the first chapter is titled Vishada Yoga or the Yoga of Grief.
因此第一章就被称为 Vishada Yoga 意思就是指悲痛悲伤瑜伽
And if you want to summarize the whole chapter you could put it like this
如果我们要来总结整个第一章的话呢我们可以这样来表达
That it's easier to wake up from a miserable dream than it is a happy dream
那么这个总结就是要从一场痛苦的梦中醒来相比起这种快乐的梦境当中醒来的话当然前者是更加容易的了
And as persons on the spiritual path like we are by appreciating the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita this helps us appreciateThe suffering that we've had in our own life, in our own disappointments.
in our own life, our own disappointments. 因此的话呢，作为走在灵性道路上的我们，当我们能得以去欣赏并感恩这个第一章当中的这些它的这种意义的时候，那么这也会帮助我们能得以去欣赏并且感恩自己在感恩我们自己在人生当中所遭受的痛苦，去欣赏并感恩我们在自己的失望当中，对所遭受的所有的这些痛苦。
Yeah, instead of lamenting what has happened to us in our life.
与其去悲伤、悲叹在人生中所发生的一切。
Instead of, you know, holding on and resenting this person and that person.
与其去紧紧抓住那些痛苦不放手，然后总是不断的去埋怨这个人，然后怨恨那个人。
We can look at our life from a different frame, different view.
而我们现在就真的可以使一种不同的视角，不同的一种框架来看待自己的人生。
We can see that all of our suffering that we've experienced in this life is meant to help us awaken from the dream of separation from Krishna.
我们就能得以看到，在这一生当中发生在我们身上的所有的痛苦，实际上都是旨在帮助我们，促使我们觉醒，从与 Krishna 相分离的梦境当中醒来。
Yeah, it's a dream to think that one can find any kind of permanent happiness in the temporary material world.
所以说去认为一个人，认为我们自己能够得以在这个短暂的物质世界当中找到任何长久的幸福快乐的话，那么这实际上就是一场梦。
But Krishna explains, especially like in the 8th chapter, he says that this world is temporary, but there is a place that's permanent.
但是 Krishna 在第八章当中就解释到了，这个世界确实是短暂易逝的，但是的话呢，真的是存在有一个地方是永恒的，是永久存在的。
Yeah, there is a dimension of life that's eternal, and where nothing changes.
人生当中，人生是包含有一个维度，这个维度是永恒的，是不会发生任何改变、任何变化的。
But we have to be, you know, ready, you know, to let go of the temporary in order to have the permanent.
In order to have permanent. 但是的话呢，我们却必须要准备好，要准备好去放手短暂的事物，就从而能得以去接受永恒不变的事物。
We're like the monkey who sticks his hand in a jar to grab something to eat. But in order to pull his hand out of the jar, he has to let go. As long as he's holding on to whatever he wants in that jar, he can't pull his hand out.
我们就像是一只猴子一样，我们都知道那故事当中，猴子把他的手伸到那个瓶口很窄的一个罐子里，想要去抓取罐子当中的吃的东西，然后但是的话那个罐口太小了，然后因此他除非放开他手中紧紧抓住的那些食物，否则的话呢，他的手是无法从罐子当中抽出来的。
Okay, so let's read text 2 and the purport.
好，我们现在就一起来阅读第一章的第二诗节和其译文。
So I'm just making a note here. So I know what I've covered from one class to the next, since we're not reading, you know, just verse to verse.
或者说他在记笔记，他因为不是每次课都是按照师姐的顺序来讲课的，然后所以他得记住到底讲些啥。
A little unorthodox style. Okay, so we'll read the Sanskrit word for word, text and purport, and this is text 2.
我们现在就来看着第一章的第二诗节，范文及字对字的翻译，译文和要旨。
Now, I'm giving these classes as if I'm speaking to someone who's never heard Bhagavad Gita before. So, for those of you who are very familiar with Bhagavad Gita, please be patient with me.
所以说我在讲这一系列的讲课是对于那些从来没有阅读过薄伽梵歌的人所讲的。因此，如果你非常熟悉薄伽梵歌的话呢，请你对我更有耐心一些。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sanjayo Vacha.Drishvatu Pandavanikam Vyudam Duryodhanastara Acharyam Upasangamya Raja Vachanam Ubravit Sanjaya Vacha
Sanjaya 说
Drishva
视察后
Tu
但
Pandava Anikam,
Pandava 兄弟的将士
Vyudam,
排兵布阵
Duryodhana,
杜尤丹王
Tada,
那时
Acharyam,
老师
Upasangamya,
走进
Raja,
君王
Vachanam,
话语
Abravit,
讲
Sanjaya said, O king, after looking over the army arranged in military formation by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words.
译文桑加雅说回禀武王杜尤丹王视察了潘杜诸子的阵列后便走到老师处说了以下的这番话
I'd like to read the text in English, so we'll do it sentence by sentence, okay?
Okay.
Dhritarashtra was blind from birth.
要指 Dhritarashtra 生而目盲。
Unfortunately, he was also bereft of spiritual vision.
不幸的是他的灵性视域也一起丧失了。
He knew very well that his sons were equally blind in the matter of religion,And he was sure that they could never reach an understanding with the Pandavas, who were all pious since birth.
他深知自己的儿子们在宗教方面也是同样的盲目，永远也达不到天生虔诚的潘达瓦五兄弟那样的领悟。
Still, he was doubtful about the influence of the place of pilgrimage, and Sanjaya could understand his motive in asking.About the situation on the battlefield.
但他仍对圣地的影响感到担心，故询问战场的情况。而桑加雅是理解他的动机的。
Sanjaya wanted, therefore, to encourage the despondent king, and thus assure him that his sons were not going to make any sort of compromise under the influence of the holy place.
桑加雅想安抚这位沮丧的国王，让他放心，即便有胜利的影响，他的儿子也绝不会妥协。
Sanjaya therefore informed the king that his son, Duryodhana, after seeing the military force of the Pandavas, at once went to the commander-in-chief, Dronacharya, to inform him of the real position.
接着桑加雅告诉国王他的儿子 Duryodhana 视察了敌军实力之后立即来到主将杜隆拿师也就是 Dronacharya 跟前报告了实情。
Although Duryodhana is mentioned as the king, he still had to go to the commander on account of the seriousness of the situation.
尽管杜尤丹被称为王，但由于情况严重，因此他仍得去报告主将。
He was therefore quite fit to be a politician.
他不愧为政治家的材料。
But Duryodhana's diplomatic veneer could not disguise the fear he felt when he saw the military arrangement of the Pandavas.
可是看过潘达瓦五兄弟的阵势之后，他感到惧怕，就算他圆滑行事，也掩饰不住了。
Okay, so like we mentioned in the beginning of the talk today, there's two things going on in this chapter.
就像我们在今天的早课上一开始提到的，在这一章当中，实际上是发生着两件事。
There's the historical description of the battle and who's present there.
那么第一件事就是对这场战役的历史性的描述，就是有哪些人在哪个地方，然后在哪个地方打了一场仗。
And as I already mentioned in previous chapters, the Bhagavad Gita begins with Dhritarashtra asking a question to Sanjaya.
在之前的章在之前的诗节中，整个他的这个章节就开始于Dhritarashtra王，然后向Sanjaya提出一个问题。
And the Bhagavad Gita ends with Sanjaya again speaking to Dhritarashtra.
而整部《波迦梵歌》也是以 Sanjaya 对Dhritarashtra 王的一句话的这个回答来结束了整本这个《波迦梵歌》的。
However, this can be confusing for someone who's never read Bhagavad Gita or just beginning to study it.
然而的话呢，这对于从来没有读过《波迦梵歌》，然后只是刚刚开始了解、开始学习的人来说，却可能会引起一些困惑。
Because Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya are not present on the battlefield.
由于 Dhritarashtra 王和 Sanjaya 并没有身处在战场之上。
Dhritarashtra is a king and he's blind.
而 Dhritarashtra 他是国王，但是他却是天生目盲的。
And he's sitting in his palace.
他是坐在他的王宫里。
And Sanjaya is his advisor.
而 Sanjaya 却是他的顾问，也就是他的大臣。
But Sanjaya has special powers.
但是 Sanjaya 却身怀绝技。
He's able to do the mystic power of remote viewing.
然后他有这种玄秘力量，能够得以去有这种千里眼的这种视域。
So he can travel anywhere in his mind and see what's happening.
因此他可以在他的心意当中四处遨游，去看到在任何一个地方所发生的事。
Yeah, so he can experience any of his five senses in a different location.
然后因此的话呢，他可以在任何一个地点以五种感官来体验这个地方所发生的事情。
Yeah, so although Sanjaya is sitting next to the king, he can project his mind to the battle of Kurukshetra, and he can see, he can hear, he can feel what's happening. And then he can report it to the king.
所以说尽管 Sanjaya 是坐在这个杜尤丹王的身边，但是的话他却可以把他的头脑，把他的心意投射到库鲁之野这个战场上，能得以去看到、听到、去感受在战场上所发生的一切，然后的话呢，再把这一切报告给他的国王。
Yeah, so the Bhagavad Gita, the first verse begins with Dhritarashtra, the king who's blind, sitting in his palace, asking his advisor, I know the Bhagavad Gita, I know that the battle is about to begin. What's happening?
About to begin, what's happening? 所以说的话呢，整部《波迦梵歌》的第一个诗节就始自于这个天生目盲的国王 Dhritarashtra， 他身处在王宫之中，询问身边的近臣 Sanjaya， 这个到底在这个战场上都在发生些什么？
And now in text 2, Sanjaya is reporting what he's seeing. He's remotely viewing the battlefield, and he's reporting.
然后的话，在第二十节中，桑加亚就是凭着他的这个千里眼的视域，然后来向他的国王描述到他当时所看到的事情。
So King Dhritarashtra's son has inherited the kingdom, so he's also called a king.
而Dhritarashtra 的儿子也是继承了这个国家的这个王位的，因此他也被称为国王，被称为王。
And his name is Duryodhana.
他的儿子的名字叫 Duryodhana.
And actually, he's illegally inherited the kingdom.
但实际上的话呢，他却是这种非法的去继承了整个王这个王位的。
That's why it's mentioned that Dhritarashtra is physically blind, but he's also religiously blind.
所以说这就是为什么在要旨当中提到 Dhritarashtra 不仅是生理上的目盲，然后并且的话呢，他在宗教上，在灵性上也是完全什么都看不到的。
Yeah, because a truly religious person has a moral foundation.
因为一个真正的宗教人士，他是具有道德的根基的。
Yeah, he doesn't lie, cheat, or steal.
他不会欺骗，不会欺骗，不会去偷窃。
Yeah, so Dhritarashtra and his son Duryodhana, they lied and they cheated and they stole the kingdom from the Pandavas.
而Dhritarashtra 和他的儿子 Duryodhana, 他们只是去撒谎，去欺骗，去把这个王位从潘达瓦五兄弟那里偷了过来。
That's a whole other story.
而且是另外完全另外一个故事了。
But that story is in the Mahabharata.
而这个故事是在马哈巴拉特当中。
So ultimately, because they couldn't resolve, because they cheated the kingdom, they cheated to get the kingdom, and they couldn't resolve their differences. Now they're fighting.
所以说由于他们欺骗得来的这个王位，但是的话呢解决不了这个争端，所以说最终就到战场上来解决了。
So now Sanjaya is remote viewing the battlefield, and he's reporting that Dhritarashtra, your son Duryodhana, he's looked over the battlefield, he's checking it out, and now he's reporting to the head general of the soldiers.
所以说在这个时节中就接着说到 Sanjaya 他是这种千里眼的视域，然后看到当时在战场上就他的这个国王的儿子 Duryodhana, 然后就视察了整个这个阵列，然后的话呢他就走向这个所有士兵的主将，走向所有士兵的主将那里去向他报道。
So, Prabhupada is pointing out at the end of the purport, he says that Duryodhana is the king, the illegal king.
所以说在要旨的最后部分，帕帕就写到杜约尔丹他是这个非法的国王。
But, he is an intelligent politician.
但是的话他却也是一个非常聪明的政治家。
And it's said that a king or, you know, a president or anyone in power, even the CEO of a company, they're only as good as their advisors.
然后并且据说的话呢就总统，然后或者是总统或者是身处权势的任何一个人，就包括是公司的 CEO 的话呢，他们都只是和他们的顾问一样，有同等程度的好。也就是说，他们的顾问有多能干的话呢，他们才有多能干。
So Duryodhana, he's looked at the opposite side, and he's checking out the army of the opponent. you know, Arjuna and the Pandavas, and he's checking them out, and now he's checking in with his head general.
所以说杜约尔旦他就去视察了敌军的势力，去观察了阿尔朱纳、潘达瓦的五兄弟他们那边的这个军队的状况，然后他向他的主将去报告他所看到的是这种这个状态。
And so we will read in text 3 that the name of this great general, who's the leader of the army really, is Dronacharya.
所以说的话呢，我们就会在接下来的第三诗节当中看到这个军队的主将，实际上也就是军队的领导者，他的名字叫做Dronacharya.
So Dronacharya just happens to be the military teacher of Duryodhana.
而 Dronacharya 这个杜戎拿师，他刚好就是杜约尔丹的在军事上的这个老师。军事艺术上的老师。
And Dronacharya is also the military teacher of Arjuna.
但是的话呢 ,Dronacharya 也刚好曾经是 Arjuna 的这个教授军事上的军事艺术上的老师。
Yeah, so they have the same military teacher.
因此的话呢他们是共享同一位军事老师的。
So keep that in mind as we read text 3.
所以说我们在阅读第三诗节的时候就请大家记住这一点。
Pasyaitam pandupatranam acharya mahitim chamum vyudam dropada putrena tavashishena dimata.Pasha,
瞧
Aitam,
这
Pandu Putranam,
潘度珠子的
Acharya,
老师啊
Mahatim,
伟大的
Chamum,
军事力量
Vyudam,
部署
Drupada Putrena,
由杜帕达的儿子
Tava,
您的
Shishyena,
徒弟
Dimata,
非常聪明的
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada O my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu So expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupada
译文老师啊您看潘度珠子的大军阵法森严部署巧妙这可是您那聪颖的高徒杜帕达之子的杰作呀
Purport Duryodhana a great diplomat wanted to point out the defects of Dronacharya the great Brahmin commander-in-chief
要指杜尤丹手段极其有圆滑，他想指出伟大的婆罗门元帅Dronacharya 所犯的错误。
Dronacharya had some political quarrel with the king Drupada, the father of Drupadi, who was Arjuna's wife.
Dronacharya 曾经和 Arjuna 的妻子 Drupadi 的父亲 Drupada 王在政治上有过分歧。
As a result of this quarrel, Drupada performed a great sacrifice by which he received the benediction of having a son who would be able to kill Dronacharya.
由于这次争执，Drupada 王就举行了一次盛大的祭祀，求得一个祝福。他想得到一个能杀死 Dronacharya 的儿子。
Dronacharya knew this perfectly well, and yet,As a liberal Brahmin, he did not hesitate to impart all his military secrets when the son of Drupada, Drishtadyumna, was entrusted to him for military education.
而 Dronacharya 对此一清二楚。然而当 Drupada 王把儿子Drishtadyumna 送到 Dronacharya 那里去学习兵法的时候， Dronacharya 表现出了婆罗门的豁达大度，毫无保留地将军事兵法力决倾囊以授。
Now, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Drishtadyumna took the side of the Pandavas, and it was he who had arranged for the military phylax, after having learned the art from Dronacharya.
而现在在库鲁之野战场上，Drishtadyumna却站在了潘达瓦五兄弟的一方，并用从 Dronacharya 那里学到的兵法布下了赫赫阵势。
Duryodhana pointed out this mistake of Dronacharya's so that he might be alert and uncompromising in the fighting.
Duryodhana 指出 Dronacharya 的这个错误，好叫他作战时加倍警觉，不做妥协之想。
By this, he wanted to point out also.That he should not be similarly lenient in battle against the Pandavas, who were also Dronacharya's affectionate students.
Duryodhana 知道潘达瓦五兄弟也是Dronacharya 的爱徒，而 Arjuna 更是他最得意的门生。他想以此提醒 Dronacharya 和他们作战时不可心慈手软。
Arjuna especially.Was his most affectionate and brilliant student.
其中 Arjuna 更是Dronacharya 最得意的门生。
Duryodhana also warned that such leniency in the fight would lead to defeat.
并且 Duryodhana 他也以此来提醒 Dronacharya， 如果他要是心慈手软的话，就必然会招致失败。
So here, Sanjaya is reporting to Dhritarashtra that Duryodhana, you know, after looking over the arrangement of the opposing army, went to his chief commander, Dronacharya.
所以说在这里的话，就是Sanjaya在向他的国王Dhritarashtra报告说，他当时所看到的就是他的儿子杜若丹王在视察了敌军实力、敌军军情之后的话呢，就向他的老师，也是这个军队的主将报告。
So we have one side, we have Duryodhana with his army.
在一边有杜若丹王以及他的军队。
And on the other side, we have Arjuna with his four other brothers and their army.
而在另一边就是 Arjuna 和他的四位兄弟以及的话呢他以及他们的军队。
So sometimes the Arjuna and his brothers are called the five Pandavas because their father was Pandu.
而有时的话呢在某些时候 Arjuna 和他的四位兄弟被称为 Pandava 五兄弟，因为他们的父亲叫 Pandu。
So for those of you who are new to Bhagavad Gita, please be patient and don't let all of these different names confuse you.
所以说对于刚刚接触博伽梵歌的你来说，如果你刚刚接触博伽梵歌的话呢，请一定要有耐心，不要被这些人名给搞得晕头转向了。
So anyway, Duryodhana, now he's talking with his chief commander, Dronacharya.
所以现在主约丹王他就在和他的主将Dronacharya 他们之间开始有这样一场对话。
And he's a little worried about how the battle's going to go because everyone knows each other on each side and they have affectionate relationships.
而主约丹他实际上是有点担忧这个战场这个战争会是怎样展开的，因为在这个战场上的基本上每一个人都认识彼此，然后都对对方的话呢可能抱有一些某种感情，然后是有关系存在的。
I mean, how can you fight against someone who you actually love?
你怎么可能能得以去和一个你爱的人作战呢？
Or respect.
或者你怎么可能和一个你尊敬的人作战呢？
Or care about.
我觉得你怎么可能跟你很在意、很关心的一个人去作战呢？
Yeah, in order to fight, you got to get angry and you got to be willing to kill that person.
要想去和对方作战的话呢，那你就必须要是怒火冲天的，然后真的是想要杀死对方，要终结对方的生命的，有这样的一种情绪在里面。
Yeah, and if you hesitate at all, you could be finished and die.
而如果你有丝毫犹豫的话，那就很可能立刻就被杀死了。
So, you know, when people say they want to fight, you know, and they get all ready to fight, you know, maybe they say, okay, tomorrow we're going to meet and fight, and they start thinking about, you know, the fight. But when it comes to that moment, when you actually face a person and you have to fight,That's a whole different story.
所以说的话呢，当我们说到就是要跟每个人某个人去作战，或者这个作战在还有个意思就是打架的意思。所以说，你想着就明天我在哪个地方、哪个地点，然后哪个时间跟这个人见面，然后我给他好好的打一架。然后，但是的话呢，等到。那个真正到了那个时候，你去面对这个人，你要真正的开始跟他有这个肢体上的冲突的时候，那就完全又是另外一码事了。
So as we go through the chapter, we'll see how definitely Arjuna's hesitating to fight, but actually everyone there, even Drona, even Duryodhana is wondering, well, how's it going to go?
所以说在我们阅读整个这个章节的过程中，就会看到 Arjuna 后面就会非常的犹豫不决，就不想作战。而其实的话呢，并不只是他一个，包括其他人，这其中当中就有杜约丹，他也是有点犹豫不决的，就在想着这个战争的结果会是怎样的呢。
And so, Duryodhana, he's a little bit worried about his commander-in-chief, Dronacharya.
所以说杜约丹王他是有点担忧他的主将Dronacharya 的。
Because Dronacharya, like I mentioned previously, he's the teacher of Duryodhana, but he's also the teacher of Arjuna.
就像我刚才提到过 ，Dronacharya 他曾经既是杜约丹的这个军法的上面的老师，同时的话他也是阿尔朱纳的老师。
So he's thinking, well, maybe Dronacharya he won't fight with his full effort because, you know, he loves all of his students, and some of the students are on the other side.
所以说的话，杜约丹王他就有点怀疑，就觉得他的这个主将，他的老师 Dronacharya 是不会全力以赴的来打这场仗的，因为他爱他所有的学生啊，而他其中一些学生就站在这个敌军的那一方了。
And there, then Duryodhana he brings up another possible problem that they might experience in the battle.
然后杜约丹他又提出了他们可能在战场上会遇到的另一个可能出现的问题。
So actually, Dronacharya is, although he teaches military arts, he's actually a Brahmin.
而 Dronacharya 他虽然教授军事兵法，但实际上他却是一位婆罗门。
And Brahmins, you know, are very truthful and very equal towards everyone.
而婆罗门的话呢，是其本质就是讲真话的，他们是平等的对待所有人的。
So one time, Dronacharya got into an argument with the king Drupada.
是曾经。有一次，那么 Dronacharya 就和国王 Drupada 他们俩就发生了一场争执。
So here we have a very complicated relationship.
所以这里就有一个非常复杂的关系了。
So Drupada had a daughter named Drupadi who married Arjuna.
而这位和 Dronacharya 发生争执的国王 Drupada。他的女儿名叫 Drupadi, 而 Drupadi 则是和 Arjuna 结婚了。
Now, Draupada also, when he had this argument with Dronacharya, he became very angry with Dronacharya.
而当这位国王 Draupada 当他和这个 Dronacharya 发生争执之后，然后他就变得非常的愤怒，非常愤恨这个Dronacharya。
And then he did a special kind of religious ritual, maybe kind of black magic, where he prayed to have a son that would be able to kill his enemy Dronacharya.
于是的话呢，这个国王就进行了一场宗教上的仪式，然后可能这当中都含有一些黑魔法，就是可能就反正去祈求嘛，然后祈祷嘛，然后让他的这种诅咒能得以让他的这个诅咒啊，然后或者是他想要的实现的一个愿望能得以实现嘛。而他的这个获得的祝福就是他会得到一个儿子，能得以杀死他的敌人，也就是 Dronacharya。
Yeah, so the son of King Draupada is named Drishtadyumna.
而他的这个儿子。这个国就帕达国王的儿子就叫 Drishtadyumna， 然后在中文这个书上的话呢，叫做对史塔杜拿。
That is one of the hardest names to pronounce.
因为个人说，这个人的名字都用英文来念都特别难念，虽然他不叫英文，就是梵文。
Drishtadyumna.
Drishtadyumna.
And of course, we have my god brother and great acharya in ISKCON is Drishtadyumna Maharaj.
The same name.
Yeah, he has a few disciples in China, like Donna Kaylee.
然后Guru 就说到，就他的一位神兄弟，也是一位伟大的我们的这个当中的acharya， 然后也是名字就叫Drishtadyumna。Swami 也，他在中国还有好些门徒呢，其中一位就是达拉天尼呢。
Okay, so you can see how worried Duryodhana must be.
所以说我们就可以看到，Duryodhana 他真的是非常担心的。
Yeah, so the person that's prophesized to be able to kill Dronacharya is the chief commander on the side of the Pandavas who has arranged their army.
所以说那个被预言要会得以杀死 Dronacharya 的那个国王的儿子 Drishtadyumna， 他就刚好是在敌军的那一方，也就是 Arjuna 潘大王五兄弟的那一方，他是作为他们那一方的这个主将来步兵排阵的。
Yeah, so Drishtadyumna, he's destined to kill Dronacharya.
因此的话呢 ，Drishtadyumna 是注定命中注定是会杀死 Dronacharya 的。
And Dronacharya is the chief commander for the army of Duryodhana.
然而 ，Dronacharya 却是Duryodhana 他这一边的军队的主将。
In war, like in the game of chess, you know If you want to finish the war quickly, you go for all the leaders. Knock out the leaders, you win the war.
所以说在任何一场战争或者即便是下象棋的这种游戏当中的话呢，如果你想要速战速决，那么你就必须得首先去打下对方的这个主将，也就是对方的这些领导者，然后你就会很快的结束这场战争了。
Also, what's being pointed out here indirectly in this purport is the exalted qualities of Duryodhana, and of not of Duryodhana, but of Dronacharya.
然后的话呢，在这要旨当中，其实也间接的指出了 Dronacharya 他所具有的这些很崇高的品质。
Yeah, so basically, Dronacharya is the main teacher of all the major fighters in both on both sides.
所以说的话呢 ，Dronacharya 他实际上是这场库鲁之野战场上，双方作战的军队当中的主要的这些 将领们的军事老师。
Yeah, so Dronacharya is the teacher of Duryodhana, of Arjuna, and also of Drishtadyumna.
所以说 Dronacharya 他就是 Duryodhana, 是 Arjuna, 并且也是 Drishtadyumna 的即他们在兵法上的老师。
So just imagine how great Dronacharya is.
所以说真的我们可以去想象一下 Dronacharya 是多么的伟大呀。
Even though Drishtadyumna is destined to kill Dronacharya, Dronacharya did not hesitate to teach Drishtadyumna the art of military science. He taught him everything he knew.
所以说即便Drishtadyumna 他是注定命中注定要杀死 Dronacharya 的，但是 Dronacharya 他完全是倾囊以授的，毫无保留的把他所了解的军事兵法的秘诀都全部教授给了这个 Drishtadyumna， 就是教授给这个注定要杀死他的人。
Yes, so Drishtadyumna, he's arranged the formation of Arjuna's army.
而 Drishtadyumna 是负责去安排 Arjuna 一边他们的这个军事布阵的。
And he learned how to make this military arrangement by his teacher Dronacharya.
而他去布阵排兵布阵的这个技法都是从他的老师 Dronacharya 那里学来的。
So indirectly, Duryodhana is criticizing Dronacharya.
因此的话，实际上在这里，杜若丹他是很间接、很委婉的。在批评他的老师。
So we're seeing here actually Duryodhana is morally he's not as developed as his teacher Dronacharya.
所以我们就可以看到杜若丹他在他的这个道德层面上是并没有像他的老师 Dronacharya 那样那么就是得以发展的，就是在道德上是还没有完全成熟起来，完全发展出来的。
Yeah, so for somebody who's not very morally developed, you know, they don't think twice about lying, cheating, and just considering what's good for their own self. They don't consider any higher principles.
higher principles. 所以说的话呢，对于那些在道德层面上还没有发展出来的人来说，他们是二话不说就会去欺骗，就会去撒谎，然后去干坏事，然后从而得以去满足他们的这个私欲，而完全不会去考虑更高的原则。
So actually, Duryodhana, he's being a little sarcastic with his teacher Dronacharya.
所以实际上在这里，杜若丹他是在讽刺他的老师。
He's saying, actually, you know, Dronacharya, you're really kind of a fool because Drishtadyumna is destined to kill you, yet you taught him everything. What's wrong with you?
所以他在这里实际上表达的意思就是说，就对他的老师 Dronacharya 就说，你真的是个傻瓜，你真的很愚蠢。这个人，这个 Drishtadyumna 都是命中注定要杀死你的。结果你还去把你所知道的一切都交给他了，你真的是个傻子。
So indirectly, Duryodhana is trying to make sure that Dronacharya doesn't, you know, that he's not weak, that he gives, you know, that he fights with full force.
因此的话呢，所以说他通过这种讽刺对方，就是想间接的去确保。间接的让对方去确保，就是说不会软弱下来，然后不会这种临阵的，就是心软，而是有全部的这种力量去作战。
So you know we're in this first chapter, we're really learning about the exalted, you know, personalities that are present and their relationships with each other.
所以说在这第一章当中，我们实际上就是在了解在库鲁之野战场上所出现的所有这些崇高的人物们以及他们彼此之间的关系是怎样的。
And we can see that it's not only difficult for Arjuna to fight, but really it's a challenge for all of them.
我们就会看到，不仅对于 Arjuna 来说是非常困难的，就是非常艰难的要去打这一场战役，并且的话呢，其实对于战场上所有其他人来说，都是一个极大的挑战。
Yeah, so there's natural affection and respect amongst all the fighters.
所以说在他们这双方的这些士兵啊，然后将士之间的话呢，他们都有对彼此的这种感情，对彼此的这种爱。
And then they're also bound by their swadharma to fight.
但同时的话呢，他们又受到 swadharma 的这种约束，要去打这一场仗。
Swadharma means, you know, your duties according to social conventions.
Social convention. 而 dharma 的意思就是指根据社会习俗所赋予给你的职责是什么，这就是 dharma 的含义。
Right, so the duty of a kshatriya is to fight and to protect others.
而刹帝利的职责就是去战斗，去保护其他人。
And the duty of a sudra is to serve others and to work hard.
而 sudra 的职责就是去服务，去努力工作。
And the duty of a vaishya is to farm and protect the cows.
而 vaishya 的职责就是去耕作，去保护奶牛。
You know, and to do business and feed others.
然后并且经商，然后从事商业，然后从而去把食物提供给其他人。
And the duty of a Brahmin is to guide others, especially religiously.
而婆罗门的职责就是去指引、指导他人，尤其是在宗教方面的事物。
Yeah, so they have to consider their duty, and then also their relationships with each other.
所以说的话呢，战场上的这些人呢，就必须得去考虑到，既考虑到他们的职责，然后还会考虑到他们和彼此之间的关系。
Yeah, and all of this is conflicting, especially in Arjuna's case, with his Sanatan Dharma.
With his what?
Sanatan Dharma.
Oh, Sanatan Dharma. 所以说所有的这一切的话呢，尤其是在 Arjuna 的这个状况来看，就引起了极大的冲突，因为这当中还涉及到了 Arjuna 的 Sanatana Dharma。
So Sanatana Dharma means the eternal duty of the soul.
而 Sanatana Dharma 的意思就是指个体灵魂的永恒的职责。
Yeah, so sometimes the Sanatana Dharma and the Swadharma are in conflict with each other.
所以而有些时候的话呢 ，Sanatana Dharma 和 Swara Dharma， is it Swara Dharma？
Swadharma。
Swara Dharma。然后说而在某些时候的话呢 ，Sanatana Dharma 和 Swara Dharma 则又会起冲突，对，起冲突。
And the one's Sanatana Dharma is to serve the purpose of the Lord.
而一个人的 Sanatana Dharma 则是去服务主的意愿。
And so sometimes these are in union with each other, and sometimes they're in conflict.
所以说在某些时候，这个 Sanatana Dharma 和 Swadharma 就可能是相契合的、相一致的，但是的话，在另外一些时候，二者却是彼此冲突的。
Yeah, so Arjuna's dilemma is our dilemma, and so therefore Bhagavad Gita is relevant even to this day, even though it was spoken 5,000 years ago.
所以说 Arjuna 所面临的这场困境，其实也是我们所面临的困境，即便这个故事 即便这个故事是发生在5000年前，但是的话呢，对于我们当今的，对于当今时代的我们来说的话呢，也是以息息相关的。
Yeah, so we have our human duties, you know, to family and to society.
我们作为人类是有人类的这种职责的，就比如说对于社会啊，以及对于我们的家庭。
And then we have our spiritual duty, which is to wake up and leave, you know, the temporary dimension and go to the eternal dimension.
而我们在灵性上的职责，则是要让自己醒来，要离开这种离开短暂的维度，转而进入到永恒的维度。
So the Bhagavad Gita really is a roadmap.So that we can negotiate, you know, this path between these kind of two dimensions.
Between two dimensions, negotiate. What do you mean?
Find our way.
Oh, you mean like navigate?
Yeah, navigate.
Navigate.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
okay, navigate best between the two dimensions. So, 因此的话呢，博伽梵歌就非常像是这样一个地图，对，叫做地图，就像地图一样的，来指引着我们如何在这两种维度，也就是这个短暂的维度和这个永恒的维度，在这二者之间的这条路的话呢，它是这个这本书就指引着我们在这条道路上航行。
Yeah, so Bhagavad Gita is just as relevant today as it was, you know, 5,000 years ago.
因此的话呢，博伽梵歌，当就对于我们现今社会，对于我们现代人来说，所能给予的指引的这种意义的话呢，也跟五千年前给予当时人的这种指引的意义是完全一模一样的。
Okay, so, that's about all I was going to say today. Next class, I plan to, look at verses 12, 13, and 14 in purports.
12, 13, and 14, and purports.
Yes.
Oh, jump to that. Okay. 所以说我们今天的正课就讲完了。然后下个星期的讲课的话呢，我会来谈到十二师节、十三师节和十四师节，以及这三个师节分别的要旨，请大家做好准备。
So I encourage you to read, you know, the verses every day and keep getting more and more familiar with the first chapter.
因此我鼓励大家能够每天都来阅读第一章的师节，能够让自己真正的很熟悉这个章节的这些内容。
And also read all the verses and purports up to, you know, 12, 13, and 14.
然后并且的话呢，就说去阅读第十二师节到十四师节这三个师节及其要旨。
Okay, is there any, do we have any questions from last week?
I don't know if there's last week, I wasn't there.
That's right.
Sorry, but there are so many questions. 旁边，let me ask Sumukhi Maharaji. Sumukhi Maharaji, Guru 问上个星期就是 Dalakili 翻译的那一次课有没有什么问题剩下来了？如果有的话，也麻烦你发上来一下。
二
十啊，听到吗？哎，听得
到。我需要看一下微信那边，然后您先看今天的问题可以吗？
好的，行，没问题。好 ，Okay, so good much. Smoky Malad is checking about last week's remaining questions. So maybe now we just use the time to answer today's questions or quite some setting up.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, 好，我们就来看今天大家提出来的这些问题。第一个也是 Panchatattva Prabhu 问的，顶拜孤鲁和所有的奉献者，害人如害己，杜尤丹一直在迫害 Pallava 五兄弟， 最终也害了自己。他为什么一直要害人呢？把自己的快乐建立在别人的痛苦之上呢？他的军队非常强大，要置潘达瓦兄弟于死地，为什么他会恐惧呢？嗯。So Panchatattva Prabhu here is asking, offering his obeisances unto you, and he's saying that, the harm that you do to others is the same that you do to yourself. And Duryodhana has always been, harming Pandava brothers, and eventually, you know, this has also harmed himself. So why does he always keep harming, other people? And to build his happiness based on other people's misery, based on other people's pain and suffering. And also, the second question that Duryodhana's military army is very powerful and really want to kill Pandava brothers. And how come that he would be fearful?
What's the second question again?
That his army is so powerful that he really gonna kill, destroy all the Pandava brothers. Then how come? Why is he still fearful?
Okay, well, first question is, you know, Duryodhana is just like most of us.
第一个问题，那就是杜若丹对杜若丹其实跟我们绝大多数人。都是一样的。
You know, it's like the soul in the material world is, its consciousness is evolving.
在物质世界当中的个体灵魂，我们的知觉是在不断的进化着的。
Yeah, so even, you know, if we look at humanity, we'll find, different human beings are on different levels or spectrums, levels of consciousness.
如果我们去观察人性的话呢，就会发现，其实可以说人性的整个维度的话呢，人性它就有点像是一个光谱。所以光谱的话，我们可以想象一下，就是这个光谱应该怎么说，就是整个一个范围，整个一个范畴。然后从这一端到另一端，它完全包含在其中了。所以说，人性的话呢，就是说，不同的人就是处在这个光谱上的不同的位置的。
Yeah, so this is of course all created by the three modes of material nature.
当然，所有的这一切的话呢，都是由物质自然三重属性所创造出来的。
Yeah, so those who are very much in the mode of ignorance.You know, they exhibit a very low level of consciousness.
对于那些非常处在无知影响下的愚昧属性下的这些人来说，他们的知觉就是非常低的，对，非常，他们具有的是非常低的知觉。
And so, and animals are more in the mode of ignorance, they're in more ignorance than human beings.
而相比起动物的话，当然动物就比人类要更加的是处在愚昧属性之中了。
Yeah, so, you know, the animal and also the human being at the lower level of consciousness is just concerned with survival of oneself.
所以说动物的话呢，包括那些处在动物以及处在更低知觉。或叫意识层面的人类的话呢，他们只关注自己的生存，就是他们自己能不能活下来。
Yeah, so there's no awareness of one's spiritual self. Awareness is completely identified with the material body.
所以说就完全没有对这种灵性自我的觉知，他们的知觉是完全认同于他们的躯体的。
Yeah, so animals exhibit just a extreme level of selfishness.
而动物展示出的是极度的自私。
And so first we're just concerned about ourselves.
所以首先的话，我们可能只会关注自己。
And then maybe our family.
然后的话呢，我们可能会去关注自己的家人。
But we see that there are some people that are so selfish.That if, you know, if their family members get in their way, they just kill them. doesn't even kill their mother and father, kill their children. It happens all the time.
并且我们也可以看到，就是很多有些人的话呢，就是极度自私的，就是说自私到连家人都是不顾的，就包括如果他们的家人的话呢，要是挡了他们的道，那么他们甚至都可能会杀死自己的父母啊、妻子、丈夫或者是孩子的这些事情的话呢，实际上我们一直都可以听闻，都是在社会上发生着的。
Yeah, so not only do human beings exhibit different levels of consciousness from very selfish to very selfless.
所以说的话呢，人类会展示出不同程度的、不同层面的知觉状态，就比如说从极度的自私到极度的无私。
Like Dronacharya, I mean, he taught Drishtadyumna even though he knows Drishtadyumna is going to kill him. And how selfless is that?
就像我们刚才所谈到的那个故事一样 ，Dronacharya 他知道这个国王的儿子 Drishtadyumna 会以后会杀死他，但是的话呢，他这种无私的这种态度，仍然把自己所知晓的一切都教授给了这个注定要杀死他的人。
Yeah, so some sociologists and psychologists, they've sort of documented the different levels of human consciousness from very low to very high.
所以说一些社会学家和心理学家的话，他们就记载了、归档了这种、从低到高的不同层面、不同种类的人类意识。
Not only individually, but also collectively as societies.
然后不仅是个体所展现出来的意识或叫知觉，包括的话呢就是集体层面上的，也就是整个社会所呈现出来的知觉状态。
So since Panchatattva Prabhu is a professor, he might be interested to study what's called spiral dynamics.
Spiral dynamics, 螺旋形动态。let me check for one second. Guru Maharaj 说，就是说，如果由于Panchatattva Prabhu是位教授，所以说有可能你会感兴趣，要去研究一个叫做spiral dynamics。我来查一下这个是啥意思，叫做螺旋形，螺旋力学，对，螺旋力学或者叫螺旋动力学。
So anyway.The more selfish we are, the more lower, the more we're affected by ignorance.
所以说如果我们越是自私的话呢，我们就越发的会遭受愚昧属性或者是叫做无知的影响。
And the more awake we are, the more we're in the mode of goodness and are not so selfish and we're more concerned with the welfare of everyone, especially the spiritual welfare.
而如果我们越是觉醒的话，我们就会越发处在善良属性的影响之下，就不会那么自私，而会更多的去关注于其他人的福祉，尤其是所有其他人的灵性上的福祉。
Yeah, so Duryodhana, he's just carrying over the same level of consciousness he had from previous life into this life, in the modes of ignorance and passion.
而杜优丹的话呢，他实际上就是他在这一世当中所有的这种知觉状态，实际上也就是他从前世就已经带来的这种同样的知觉或叫意识状态，就处在一种相当于就是一种完全被笼罩在激情属性和愚昧属性之下的意识状态。
Yeah, so he's just very much identified withhis mind and his body and his imaginary self.
所以他是非常的去认同于他的心意，他的躯体，非常的非常的认同于他想象中的自我的。
So just like an animal, he'll do anything to anyone in order to protect that false sense of self.
就像动物一样，他会不惜一切手段对任何人做出任何事情，从而得以去保护他的这个虚假的自我形象。
And the, what was the second question again?
Since his army is so powerful, then how comes that he is still fearful.
Well, just like in sports, right? Even the worst teams can have a good day.
Okay, 所以说 Bruce 就是关于第二个问题，就是他军队非常强大，为什么还会恐惧呢？ Bruce 说这就像体育比赛、体育竞技比赛当中一样的，即便是最糟糕的球队哈，或者是最糟糕的这个运动员的话呢，可能刚好今天运气好，然后一下就成了，都是有可能发生的。
And you know, Duryodhana is a very smart guy.
嗯，而杜尤丹是一个非常聪明的家伙。
And he sees you know some weaknesses in his army.
他能看到他自己军队当中所具有的一些弱点。
Which we've already talked about.
嗯，而这些是我们已经谈论过的了。
Right, the chief general on the other side.Was trained by Dronacharya and he is destined to kill Dronacharya.
嗯，而这个弱点之一就是对方军队的主将，是注定会杀死他的这边的主将的。然后，并且他这边的主将把自己所知道的一切都交给对方了。
And everyone on each side, they have respect and affection for each other. So this may, you know, weaken them.In terms of fighting, right?
嗯，而由于军队双方的话呢，他们对于彼此都是有这个敬意和感情存在的。所以真的要打起来的话呢，有可能他们对彼此的这种感情反而会让他们脆弱、懦弱下来。
Yeah, so it's not a slam dunk. There's a, you know, you can't predict. There's a.Elements that can't be predicted.
嗯，所以说的话呢，它这不是就说，是绝对的。对，在这个战场上、战役当中的话呢，是有一些因素是无法能够去预测到的，无法能够就说，对，决定这个最终的结果的。
Do you know the expression "slam dunk"?
I know the basketball thing.I'm surprised. Oh, man, wow. Impressed. Okay, next question. Okay, 我们来看下一个问题。亚穆娜听完妈的几问，顶拜亲爱的姑母，顶拜甜美的翻译，前几天和一位朋友聊，父爱瑜伽时，他提醒我不要打扰别人的幸福。人家对生活感到挺满足的，也不惧怕死亡。我就想，是不是不要像那些生活平静、幸福、没有经历过什么悲伤的人传播呢？让他们继续在美梦中呢？如果把这些人叫醒了，人家并不乐意，是不是也是一种暴力呢？感恩Guru指导。So, Yamuna Tiram Mataji is offering her obeisances unto you, and she's saying that several days ago she's talking with a friend about Bhakti Yoga, and the friend told her that please do not disturb other people's happiness, because some people are very satisfied with their life, and they're not fearful about death, and then there's no need for me to preach to those people who are enjoying their peaceful, happiness life and without really experiencing much misery and grief. So just let those people remain in their sweet dreams. And if I actually wake up these people, then they are not willing to accept it.It's not what they want to see, want to hear. So isn't this also a kind of violence? Thank you for your guidance.
Yeah, I mean, it's Krishna's instruction to us at the end.
嗯，哦，您说到这一点的话呢，实际上就是 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》的结尾部分他所说到的一点。
Which Vaisheshika Prabhu calls it the mango principle.
嗯，而 Vaisheshika Prabhu Vaisheshika Maharaj 把这一点的话呢叫做芒果原则。
So basically, you know, if you pick a mango off the tree before it's ripe, it will never ripen. So in that sense, it's violence.
嗯 ，OK。所以说，如果我们要是在芒果没有成熟之前，就还是青芒果的时候，就把芒果从树上摘下来，那么这个芒果是永远都不会。 纯熟的，所以都没法吃。然后因此的话，从这个角度来说，这就是一种暴力。
Yes. So, in any way, the way Krishna has designed the material world, it's designed to cause the soul to ultimately awaken and want to go back to Godhead. And everyone is on their own. tiny.
Tiny. Yeah, oh.
Everyone's time is different, you know, for awakening.
Oh, time is different. 所以说的话 ，Krishna 他设计这个物质世界的目的，就是旨在要促使每个生物体都能最终得以觉醒，能得以回归守神。而对于每个人来说，他的时机都是不同的。
Yeah, so, you know, you really cannot explain this teaching to someone who's not interested in hearing about it. They'll just resist it and ultimately disrespect it.
Okay.
Which is not good for them.
Okay, not good for them. 所以说你真的是没法向那些对这门教导不感兴趣的人去传播这门知识的，因为他们不感兴趣，所以说这只会导致他们去抗拒，然后最终的话只会引发他们对这门教导或者对奉爱瑜伽的不敬不尊敬，然后而当然这对他们来说是很不好的。
Yeah, so everyone has to experience birth, death, old age and disease.
每个人都会经历生老病死。
And even though people outwardly look happy, most are struggling inwardly. They're desperate.
虽然许多人可能从外在来看起来是非常快乐幸福的，然而的话呢，绝大多数人的内心都是在挣扎着的，然后都是非常对，都是挣扎着的，然后非常desperate， 非常迫切的，
Yes, they're desperately suffering.
非常这种处在一种绝望境地的一种挣扎痛苦的状态。
And everyone, you know, at different times, many times a day, especially when something terrible happens, they remember that they're going to have to leave everything, and there's fear.
Leave everything. 对于绝大多数人来说，在一天当中，很多时候，如果要是有糟糕的事情发生的话，他们一下想起来，哦，自己终于有一天是会离开所有的这一切，放手所有的这一切的，那么此时恐惧就会出现了。
Yeah, but you know, of course, most people are expert at distracting themselves away from this kind of fear.By watching TV or looking, you know, at WeChat or whatever. Or drinking alcohol.
而绝大多数人的话呢，都是具有专家级的这种技能，就像专家一样的，能找到各种各样的方式来分散他们的注意力，来让他们不去觉察到这种内在的恐惧感。而这种分散注意力的方式就很常见啦，看电视啊，或者玩微信啊，然后或者是喝酒，这些都是非常常见的方式。
Yeah, so in the case of, you know, people who are not interested, our actions speak much louder than our words anyway.
所以说对于那些不感兴趣的人来说，实际上我们的行动是比我们要说出来的声音，是比我们说出来的话语要更有力量的。但总的来说都是这样，就行动大于话语。
Yeah, so if we're actually awakening spiritually and we're actually happy, they'll sense that.
如果我们真的是在灵性上觉醒了的，如果我们真的是内心是快乐、满足、圆满的。那么其他人是绝对会感受到这一点的。
And if we're not actually happy, we really don't have anything to share with them anyway.
而如果我们并没有真正的感到快乐幸福的话，那实际上我们又有什么能够去和别人分享的呢？
Okay, so anyway, let's read Krishna's instruction in this regard.
好，我们就一起来读一读，就这一方面 Krishna 所给予的指示是什么吧。
This is 1867.
我们一起来看18章的67诗节。
So even though we're in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, now we've jumped to the end.
就虽然我们是一开始讲的薄伽梵歌，最开始第一章，结果现在突然跳到最后的部分了。
Yeah, so this is Krishna's conclusion.
而这句话就是 Krishna 的结论呐。
This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere, or devoted, or engaged in devotional service.Nor to one who is envious of me.
18.67, 这门机密的知识永不可向那些不苦行、不虔诚、不从事奉爱服务的人解说，也不可向嫉妒我的人解说。
Yeah, so there are ways that, you know, that we can be compassionate even towards those who are totally lost and not interested.
所以说的话呢，对于那些完全迷失在心意之中，对于这门教导，对于奉爱瑜伽不感兴趣的人来说，我们仍然是可以找到方式来对他们心生怜悯同情之心的。
Yeah, we can introduce them to spiritual sound in the form of kirtan or other forms of contemporary music with God's name in it.
Contemporary music with God's name. 其实我们可以介绍他们去聆听一些灵性的音乐，而这些灵性的音乐的话呢，也可以包括这种现代的、当代的这些音乐当中，就不一定是 kirtan。当然 ，kirtan 是一部分，我们可以介绍给他们。然后另外的话呢，也是这种当代的一些歌曲当中有神的名字在里面的，也可以介绍给他们。
Or spiritual food.
那或者是。把这个灵性的食物 prasadam 也给予他们。
Or we can teach the principles of Bhagavad Gita in a secular fashion to help people with their everyday problems like drinking or smoking or gambling.
Secular, okay. 但并且的话呢，我们还可以以一种世俗的方式来把婆家梵歌当中的原则教导给他们，以帮助他们应对和解决日常生活当中的各种问题，就比如说是酗酒啊、赌博呀、等等的这些问题。
Yeah, so this is called bridging the gap.
所以这就被叫做 bridge the gap， 叫做这种，我想想这个该怎么说哈 ，bridge the gap， 稍等一下。
Yeah, so some people can't immediately step to Bhagavad Gita, but they need a bridge to get over there.
对，缩这个可以叫做缩短差距，或者叫做搭起桥梁。对，这个叫搭起桥梁。所以搭起桥梁的这种方式呢，就是说，对于这些不会立刻对奉爱瑜伽这个教导感兴趣的人来说，你可以从他们和他们息息相关的一些直接的问题入手，来介绍。这些和奉爱瑜伽相关的一些部分的话，来从而搭起桥梁。
Anyway, there are lots of ripe mangoes out there, so better to spend your time with the ripe mangoes.
所以总的来说的话呢，有许多成熟的芒果已经出现了，所以说最好是你把时间都投入在这些成熟的芒果上。
Okay.
Next one.接下来的问题，这个好像是一串数字。这位奉献者问：谢谢老师 ，Jonacharya 是为婆罗门却上战场做起了军人使者，经典允许这么做吗？So this devotee is asking that Jonacharya is a Brahmana, however he went on the battlefield to shoulder the responsibility of being a military man. So does the scripture allow him to do so?Or does the social convention allow him to do so?
Yeah, yes, because he's a teacher, but he just happens to be a military teacher.
是的，这是允许这么做的，因为他是一位老师，但他刚好是一位教授军事兵法的老师。
And it's allowed in Vedic culture that you can perform the duty of a caste below you, but not above you.
Oh, perform a duty
of a caste or a category below you, but not above you.
Oh, I see. So Kshatriya is below than
a Brahman can act as a Kshatriya, but a Kshatriya can't act as a Brahman.
I see. 然后的话呢，在韦达文化当中的话，还有这样的一个规则原则，那就是一个人可以去从事他的这个相当于简单来说，就是说婆罗门可以去做刹帝利做的事情，但是刹帝利却不能去做婆罗门的事。也就是说，你可以去从事在你的这个阶层之下的职责，因为刹帝利低于婆罗门嘛。但是的话，你却不能去从事高于你的这个阶层的职责，也就是说刹帝利是没法去做婆罗门的事情的。
And then like a Brahman and Kshatriyas would never go become a servant of somebody else, which would be a Sudra.
所以说同样就像婆罗门和刹帝利是不可能去干服务别人的职责的，而这个服务别人的职责的话是属于Sudra这一阶层了。
Okay.
Okay, next one.
Yeah.
我们来看下一个问题 ，Kodani Tai Dasi 问：顶拜咕噜及奉献者们，您说从读《薄伽梵歌》第一章的二三这几个诗节，我们要去感恩欣赏发生在我们生命中的磨难。通常情况下，我们不会去感激与欣赏这些境遇，而是选择逃跑或压抑。请问您，我们怎么才能做到呢？由头脑知道转换为内心的转变，心口不一很难受啊！感恩您，Maharaja。So she's saying that she's offering her obeisances to you, and she's asking that you were just saying that we need to appreciate what has happened to us, all the sufferings and the pain. However, usually we're not going to be appreciative towards these things, however, just choosing to run away or suppress it. So I want to know how to actually do that, how to know it from a theoretical understanding into a real inner knowing, because it's pretty challenging to...say one thing while feel differently.
Yeah, well, it's just a change of perspective.
所以这实际上就是一种视角的转换。
So of course, if you're not on the path of awakening, and you don't see your life from the perspective of awakening, then you can't change your perspective.
Cannot change perspective. So, 如果哈，你没有走在灵性觉醒的道路上，你就不会以灵性觉醒的这种视角来看待你的人生。那自然的话，你的视角也就是不会发生改变的。
Right? If you just think that there's only this life, I don't have a soul, and I'm just here to enjoy as much as I can. That's one perspective, right?
就比如说如果你认为我就这一辈子，然后死了就死了，然后我尘归尘土归土，然后我就随着我尽我的最大努力来每一天尽可能多的享受，那么这就是一种视角，对吧？
Yeah, so from that materialistic perspective, spiritual practice, spiritual life seems like just a fantasy, like a waste of time.
所以说的话，当一个人是处在这样的物质的视角上的时候，灵性休息或者叫灵性生活，对，在他看来就完全像是一种幻想一样，就完全是浪费时间。
But if you're on the spiritual path and you see the bigger picture that life is meant for awakening.
然而如果你是走在灵性之路上，你能以一种更大的画面来观看你的人生，你能看到你的人生是只在要在灵性上觉醒的话。
Yeah, this attachment to our imagined self and all of its desires is a dream.
我们对于想象中的自我的这种执念，我们对于自己假我的所有的这些欲望的执着或者叫依附的话呢，其实就只不过是一场梦而已。
We've spent our whole life trying to protect this false self.
我们把整个一生都用来保护这个虚假的自我形象。
And trying to fulfill its unfulfillable desires.
试图去满足这个虚假自我的根本就无法不根本就不可能被满足的欲望。
Yeah, so all of our disappointments help bring us to the point of letting go of these false desires.
因此我们所遭受的所有的失望都在把我们带到这样一个点，让我们能得以最终去放手这些所有虚假的欲望。
Yeah. So eventually we get tired of putting our hand in the fire.
就最终我们会已经就是觉得受够了，就自己把手放到火焰当中，对于这样的一种生活状态就会感到真的是受够了。
We get tired of suffering.
我们受够了自己所遭受的苦难。
We get tired of holding on to this false idea about ourselves.
我们受够了非常疲倦的，已经不想继续的紧紧的抓住关于自我的这个虚假的我，不想再继续的去抓住这个虚假的我了。
Yeah, holding on to our disappointments, holding on to our resentments doesn't change anything, it just causes us to suffer.
紧紧的抓住失望，紧紧的抓住我们对某一个人的怨恨，并不会改变任何事情，而只是给我们带来痛苦而已。
Yeah, there's really no one to blame. Except for ourselves.
Except blaming ourselves?
Yeah, well, there's no one to blame except for ourselves.
所以说真的是没有任何人是应该去，真的是不必去指责任何人，而真的是完全都是我们自己所造成的。
Right? If you're, when you bring your attention to the present,
当你把注意力放在当下这一刻的时候，
Which is the truth of life.
而这一刻就是生命的真相所在。
Awareness is as brilliant as the sun.
而知觉就像是太阳一样光芒万丈。
It's never been touched by anything. That's the reality.
知觉是从来都没有被任何事物所触碰过，所玷污过的。而这就是事实。
Yeah, but instead we spend most of our time living in the illusory world of the past and the future, and then we suffer.
然而的话呢，我们却把绝大多数的人生、绝大多数的生命时间都花在思考过去和思考未来的这个幻觉的世界中，在不断的受苦。
So once you know the doorway to awakening, which is the present.
因此一旦当你知道通向觉醒的入口，而这个通向觉醒的入口就是当下此刻的话，
It's up to you to awaken or not.
因此这就取决于你了，你是想要醒来还是不想。
Yeah, and so the suffering, you know, we're only suffering because we're choosing to live in the illusion instead of the truth.
而受苦，我们所受到的所有的苦难，我们之所以受苦，是因为我们只是选择去活在幻觉之中，而没有活在生命的真相之中。
So when will you or I choose to awaken and end the suffering? When will you or I or anyone choose to wake up and end the suffering?
所以说你会在什么时候，或者我会在什么时候，或者任何一个人会在什么时候选择醒来，选择真正的放手所有的痛苦，所有的幻觉呢？
I guess when you suffered enough.
我猜那就是当你已经受够的时候，你受够了痛苦，受够了苦难的时候，就会做出这样的选择了。
Yeah, so for you, you know the way, but you just have to do it.
而对你来说的话呢，你知道这个方式是什么，而你要做的就是去做而已。
Yeah, it's no secret. It's not that difficult.
所以这不是一个秘密，并不是多难的一件事儿。
You don't need much theory.
Oh, theory, huh?
Yes, you don't need much theory. Theory won't help.
你是不需要太多理论的，理论知识是不会帮到你的。
Right, you can study all about swimming.
你可以去研究，你可以去学习所有关于游泳的知识，游泳的这些技能，你可以去学习了解。
But you really won't swim until you jump in the water and start swimming.
但是的话，如果你都不去跳进水里，你都不去跳进游泳池，你怎么能够去游泳呢？就学再多，然后还是仍然不懂得如何去游泳啊。
So, in fact, in reality, we've never not lived in the present.
然而事实上在现实之中我们从来都没有离开过当下此刻。
You cannot exist outside this moment.
我们是不可能在当下之外的其他任何时刻存在的。
And even if you lament the past, you're having some thought about the past that this person did this to me.
即便你在悲伤过去，即便你的脑海里冒出这些念头，想着这个人曾经对我干过这件事儿。
That thought is occurring in this moment.
然而，这样的一个关于过去的念头，仍然是在当下此刻发生的。
But it's just a thought about what happened. It's not happening now.
但是的话呢，这却只是关于曾经发生过的事情的念头，并不是在当下此刻发生的念头。
Yeah. So, you know, each person has free will to awaken or not once they have this knowledge.
所以说每一个人都有自由意志去做出这样的选择，让自己选择醒来。一旦当他们有了这方面的知识的话。
Right, so Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
所以帕帕说过，念诵 Hare Krishna, 并快乐。
That means, you know, chant, experience pure awareness now, and thank Krishna.
Thank Krishna. 所以说帕帕的这句话，念诵并快乐，意思就是在说念诵并体验在当下此刻纯粹的知觉，然后由此去感谢 Krishna.
Yeah, the past is gone.
过去的已经过去了。
And the future hasn't come yet.
未来尚未到来。
Wake up!
赶紧醒来吧。
Yeah, so when are we going to do that? When we suffer enough.
所以我们什么时候选择醒来了？当我们觉得受够了的时候就会醒了。
That's all we need to know. We don't need to know anything else, actually.
而这就是我们所需要知晓的一切了。实际上我们不需要知晓其他任何的一切。
Chant and be happy.
念诵并快乐。Okay, next one.
Okay.
我们来看下一个问题。这个手机号，对这位奉献者问，感恩顾，感恩翻，谢谢前无故。奉献者不能吃大蒜和洋葱吗？中国人炒菜基本上都是加大蒜头的。大蒜头不仅是天香，而且有消炎作用。吃少量大蒜对人体健康是十分有益的呀。So this devotee is asking that, can devotees eat garlic and onions? Because for Chinese people, our cuisine style is usually when you fry the vegetables, you add garlic inside. And garlic does not just adds the taste in it, but also has a beneficial effect on the human health.So that's his question.
Oh, I hate the guy. Yeah, you know, the reason, and there's a couple of reasons why we avoid onions and garlic, but it's not a hard and fast rule.
Okay. 所以说我们之所以选择 不食用大蒜和洋葱是有几个理由的，但是的话呢，并不是说这些就得是硬性规则，就一定要去做到。
So, for one who wants to advance in spiritual consciousness, it's recommended that one eat in the mode of goodness. Because everything in material nature is affected by the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance.
Sorry, Guru Maharaj, what's the last sentence? Everything
in the material world, all material, physical nature, is composed of goodness, passion, and ignorance.
OK. 所以对于想要在灵性道路上进步的人来说的话呢，我们尽量要让自己处在一种善良属性的层面上，而这个物质世界当中的每一个事物的话呢，都是由物质自然三属性，善良属性、激情属性和愚昧属性所构成的。
Like alcohol is in the mode of ignorance.
就比如说酒精。酒类的话呢，都是属于愚昧属性的。
Yeah. So, if you drink it, it depresses your consciousness.
Depress?
Yeah. It depresses consciousness. It brings it down.
But brings it what?
Brings it down. It lowers your consciousness.
Oh, I see. 所以说，如果你饮用酒精的话呢，那么这就会让你的知觉。就是降低你的知觉，就让你的知觉处于愚昧属性之中。
So although onions and garlic do have medicinal qualities, they're also in a mode of ignorance.
就是说虽然大蒜和洋葱是具有一定的这个益处的，然而的话呢，它们却是属于愚昧属性。
And people that have critical jobs like airline pilots and crane operators and things like that.They're advised not to eat onions and garlic before they go to work.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. What's another one? The operator. What operator?
The crane operator.
Crane. Oh, I see. Crane operator. Oh, 所以说对于那些从事就是这种关键工作或者叫做有些这种重大工作的人来说，就比如说是飞行员。飞机的飞行员以及就是操纵那种起重机的，就是修房子那个，我都不知道那个用中文怎么说，就是很高很高的架子然后修房子的那种机器，巨大机器的那些工作人员来说，他们是需要就是被建议说是在去工作去上班之前是最好不要食用大蒜和洋葱的。
Of course a little onion or a little garlic is not going to depressyour consciousness very much.
当然如果是一点点的大蒜和洋葱的话呢，是不会降低你的知觉的。
A little alcohol won't either.
当然一点点酒精的话呢，也不会。
Yeah, but those who are very serious about awakening, they avoid, foods and drinks in the mode of passion or ignorance.
但是对于那些严肃的对待灵性进步的人来说的话，他们就会避免这些降低其知觉的使其处于愚昧属性的食物和食品。
Yeah, so because most people are always consume these things, they can't feel the difference. But if you actually abstain from foods in the mode of ignorance and passion for a long time, and then you happen to eat some, you can immediately feel the effects.
所以说对于绝大多数人来说，他们一直都在食用这些种类的食物，所以说对他们来说是不会有任何区别的。但是的话呢，对于长时间戒除这些食物的人来说，要是长期的都不去食用愚昧属性和激情属性的人来说，他们要是吃了一点点的话呢，就会立刻感到是有反应，是有影响的。
So I've just spoken interms of onions and garlic, in terms of the modes of material nature and spiritual awakening.
所以我刚才的话呢，是以这种灵性觉醒的这个角度来谈论大蒜和洋葱他们所属的这种属性以及所造成的影响。
Now I'd like to speak in terms of bhakti or devotional yoga.
而现在的话呢，我想要以 Bhakti 的角度，也就是奉爱 服务的奉爱瑜伽的角度来谈论这一点。
And so the, those who practice Bhakti Yoga, they offer, they make an offering of love and devotion of their food, to God, to Krishna before they eat it, and ask, Krishna to bless the food.
嗯，对于修习奉爱瑜伽的人来说，在他们食用烹饪的食物之前，都会先把食物以他带着他们的爱和奉献之情来供奉给主 Krishna， 请求 Krishna 来祝福他们烹饪的食物。
Yeah, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you offer me a leaf, a fruit, or water with love, I'll accept it. And then that, takes, that offered food takes, becomes sanctified and takes on a spiritual vibration that raises one's consciousness.
嗯，而 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》当中都说到，如果你以爱心，为我献上了一片树叶、一朵花或者是一些水的话，那么我都会接受。然后，所以说这样供奉给 Krishna 的东西的话呢，就得到了净化，就获得了灵性上的震动。那么食用这样的东西，就会提升一个人的知觉。
Yeah, so we only offer Krishna the foods that are in the mode of goodness. We don't offer anything stinky or smelly.
哦，所以说我们就只会把一些善良属性的食物供奉给Krishna， 而不是会把那些臭熏熏的，然后或者味道很重的东西供奉给 Krishna。
嗯、so that's the that's the basic principle。
嗯，所以这是基本的原则。
But I realize in certain cultures, that's hard to avoid。
但是我知道，就是在某些文化当中，这是很难避免的。
Yeah, so we should be very careful about what we put in our mind or what we put in our mouth.
嗯，因此我们需要非常谨慎的来对待，我们要把什么样的东西带入到我们的知觉，带入到我们的心理之中，要把什么样的东西放进到我们的嘴里。
And we should also be careful about what comes out of our mouth.
当然的话，我们也要非常谨慎的去对待我们脱口而出的话语，我们什么东西从自己嘴巴里冒了出来。
Okay, thank you for your question.
好的，谢谢你的问题。Okay, next one.
Yeah, how many are there?
Oh, here is two questions from last week.
Oh, okay.
There's more, actually, a lot more. So maybe we first answer those two.
Yeah.
好，我们来看上周剩下的问题。这位叫彭纯的奉献者问：顶拜古鲁有朋友说，问题一，按经典上说，使徒传信有四条线，我们能自己选吗？问题二，启迪后有什么功德利益？佛教里受五戒会有天神护佑，奉献者启迪后会有护法神护佑吗？哦、so this this devotee is offering obeisance and asking that, her friend is asking that.The scripture says that there are four lines of disciplinic succession. So can we actually choose any one of them? That's the first question.
Sure, why not?
当然的，当然，我们当然可以自己选。
Why not choose the one that has come to you?
为什么不去选择那个到达你面前的这条使徒传信呢？
Is that by accident?
还是说这个使徒传信出现在你面前的都是完全属于偶然的意外的才出现在你面前呢？
Maybe it's the one you've always been a part of.
嗯，也许你一直以来都是属于这条使徒传信的。
Okay.
嗯 ，Okay, next one.
嗯哼。
他问的第二个问题 ，Okay, the second question is asking that what are the benefits that we will get after get initiated. Like in Buddhism, after a person vow to have some like five principles, to obey five principles, then they will be blessed and be protected by some heavenly creatures. And do devotees have those demigods protection after they get initiation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.是的， 奉献者启迪后会有护法神护佑。
The main benefit is just taking shelter of the spiritual master, you're already connected.
The main benefit is taking shelter of the spiritual master.
Yeah, when you take shelter of the spiritual master, then you're connected to the disciplic succession.
当你在灵性导师那里获得庇护的时候，那么你就和使徒传系建立了连接。
And you're getting mercy according to your surrender, how much you take it seriously.
而你是根据你臣服的程度来获得相应的仁慈的，这就取决于你在多大程度上想要严肃的对待你的灵性修习。
But when you're not initiated, you're like a boat without an anchor.
而当你没有启迪的话呢，你就像是一艘没有锚的小船一样。
As long as there's no wind, you'll stay in the same place.
只要不起风，那么你作为一艘小船的话呢，都会保持都会在原地，在那个海上同样的那个地方。停留着，停泊着。
But if you make a vow, and you know, because when you're initiated, you make a vow, you make a promise for your whole life. So that's like an anchor that keeps you on the spiritual path as long as you keep your vow.
所以当你在启迪的时候，你是需要许下诺言的，你需要许下诺言，终身。承诺要做到什么样的事情，那么而这诺言的话就会像是一个锚一样，就是那个船锚一样的，使得你能够一直稳定的走在这条灵性道路上，只要你能一直遵循你的灵性，一直遵循你的誓言的话。
Yeah, so initiation is a commitment that supports you for your whole life.And lifetimes.
而启迪就是你许下的，你做出的这样一个郑重的承诺。启迪能够帮助你一直支持你，一直能够在这条道路上走下去。
So Krishna says, it's very practical. As one surrenders unto me, I reward accordingly.
Krishna 就说过这样一句话，是非常实际的，讲究实际的一句话，就是说当一个人臣服于我的时候，我就根据他臣服的程度来相应的回应他。
Yeah, so how strong is a marriage?
一段婚姻能有多么坚固呢？
Well, it depends on the commitment of both parties.
那婚姻的坚固程度就取决于婚姻当中双方对于这段关系的郑重承诺的态度了。
Yeah, so if the commitment is very strong, then you get all the positive benefits of marriage.
而如果你许下的承诺是真的是非常郑重的话，非常严肃重大的话，那么你就会得到这段关系，或者是得到你所选择的灵性道路所带来的所有的益处。
Yeah, so if the spiritual master is bona fide,
如果你选择的你，如果你的灵性导师是正宗的灵性导师的话。
And the disciple is bona fide.
并且门徒也是正宗的门徒，这个正宗的门徒。What is bona fide disciple?
Well, that means, you know, committed.
那就是说如果老师和学生guru 和门徒都是非常严肃的承诺的话。
Then all of the benefits of initiation come to both of them.
那么启迪所带来的所有的益处就会到达他们双方。
All the mercy of God and all the mercy of the previous, you know, spiritual masters.
神的所有的仁慈以及之前所有的灵性导师，所有的 Acharya 们，他们的仁慈都会来到这双方。来到这个老师和学生的生活中，人生中。
Yeah, so keep your promise and stay anchored.
所以说的话呢，保持你的誓言，然后让自己一直被锚定着，然后一直能被稳定的走在这条道路上。
Okay, are all the questions from last week answered?
苏穆基玛拉姐，是不是所有的这个上周的问题都回答完了？还是说后面的这些还有好几个呢？
上周的都没有了，剩下的是这周的了。
Okay, so all the questions from last week have been answered. So now just left today.
How many today?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so encouraged that the devotees are so eager to ask questions and give reflections, but we'll have to postpone them till next week.
看到大家问了这么多问题，我真的是倍感鼓舞啊！可惜实在是抱歉，就必须得等到下个星期才来回答大家剩下的这些问题了。
Please be patient and please forgive me.
请大家耐心等待，并且请你们原谅我。
So, thank you, Narayani, and thank you, Sumuki, and I thank all the devotees for this sangha.
感谢苏穆提玛拉吉，感谢今天来参加桑嘎的奉献者们呐。
And all glories to Prabhupada and Krishna and Arjuna.
所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，归于 Krishna 和 Arjuna。
And Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra.
然后归于 Sanjaya 和 Dhritarashtra。
They all make it possible.
都是他们的存在才让这个事情，然后这个博加凡克得以上演了。
Yeah, and you make it possible. Otherwise, there's no hearing and chanting.
并且的话呢，大家来听课，也是让这个整个早课也得以发生了。因为有你们的存在，才能有聆听和讲述的存在呀。
So I'm always grateful for this opportunity to be with you all.
所以说我总是心怀感激之情，能感恩大家来。能够和你们在一起，来一起度过星期六的早晨。
Okay, Hare Krishna, keep your anchors in the water.
Hare Krishna, 请大家要好好的把自己的锚给抛在这个海洋里，然后让自己稳定的走在这条道路上。
Hare Krishna,
good night. 外昆塔之音服务源于聆听，今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna， 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。